I'm very pleased to welcome back to you from the Roundhouse, Professor Martin Drum from Notre Dame University. Welcome back, Martin.
It's always good to be here, Michael.
Well, I'm not sure what the humble voter thinks. Perhaps they can listen to this podcast and send the editor of the Shipping News an email to explain what experiences they had. But I'm confused about the Dunkley by-election. I thought it was a by-election in the seat in Victoria. You thought Labor had won it with a small gap between them and the coalition. And the next thing I read, the leader of the opposition, Mr. Dutton, is spruiking nuclear power stations around the country, including at Collie in Western Australia. I'm thinking that I've misread all of this data, that the coalition actually won the Dunkley by-election, and the Dunkley by-election was a plebiscite on portable nuclear power stations in Australia, and this is the outcome. Am I wrong?
Oh, what happens after these by-elections is both sides try to furiously claim something out of it. And the reality with the Dunkley by-election we've just seen on the weekend is that there's not really a winner or a loser. I would describe it as a business-as-usual result. So we know that governments normally get swings against them in by-elections, and the swing's often around about 3 to 4%. And lo and behold, it's 3.6%. So there's still some postal votes to count, Michael, but it'll land between 3 and 4%, which is the usual margin. The government hang on to their seat. You can't even say that the other member resigned in controversy because, unfortunately, she passed away, the former Labor member. So I think there's probably, if it was a sporting contest, we'd call it a draw.
Well, why all of this noise immediately after the election about nuclear power stations there?
I think sometimes you don't look at what people say, you look at what people do. And the thing about the end, one of the biggest issue in the election, in the by-election, and generally is the cost of living around the place. So one of the analysts were saying post-Dunkley that the coalition didn't have any policies that addressed the cost of living. And when it comes to energy, they've talked a big game for a long time now on nuclear energy, but never really committed to it. And there's a good reason why, because as soon as you commit to nuclear energy, you have to explain to the public where you're going to put the nuclear reactors, where you're going to, which communities are going to have the nuclear power stations.
And how much they cost, Martin.
And well, there's also how much it costs, but I reckon that first one's even more important in that I've never met a community that would like a nuclear power station next to them.
Don't discount.
But the second thing, you're right. The first thing is the politics, and that's about who has the nuclear power station next to them. The second thing's about the cost. And consistently, energy experts have said, if you're going to start a nuclear nuclear energy system from scratch, it's about 30 to 40% more than renewables. So, there's a massive initial outlay. And at the moment, unless something changes, they're not as efficient as renewables. They might be a reliable power source. They may be good in certain ways, good for the environment because they don't use fossil fuels in the same way. But they're not at the moment financially viable. So there's still work to do, I think.
Well, last week we were wondering whether Roger Cook, the Western Australian Premier, would be pleased that no one was talking about him. He must have listened to you from the Roundhouse and been a bit perturbed that we didn't think anyone was talking about him. So he was suddenly in print over all of this idea that there might be a nuclear power plant at Collie. What did he have to say? Do you think that'll resonate?
Well, I think it will, because you'll see the other premiers, every site that the coalition suggests, you're going to get the local premier. They're mostly Labor premiers, let's face it, except Tasmania. They'll be on their soapbox talking about, how much the community hates it. So I think that's the problem with this proposal politically. I think it's going to run into that kind of opposition.
What you're telling me is that as you predicted last week, the Dunkley by-election really was a bit of a non-event, a small swing against the Labor Party who held the seat. Everyone's trumpeting the figures in their own way. Business as usual, you describe it. Everyone's back to Canberra. The Labor Party have a large number, I think a majority of women in the parliament. But the coalition doesn't, and the seat of Cook, held by the former Prime Minister Scott Morrison, has just put up another man to run for that seat and probably win it. And I'm assuming, Martin, that'll be a bit of a non-event by-election as well when it happens.
It will be a non-event by-election. I'd be surprised if Labor stands in that by-election. It's a very safe seat for the Liberal Party. It's, of course, Scott Morrison's seat. And so I think that will be a non-event as well. As you say, I mean, there was an opportunity for a woman to run. As I understand it, the two leading candidates were both men, one a local, another one from outside the electorate. So, I mean, obviously, I think they've got some work to do. What you can do if you've got more women in parliament is allows you space and bandwidth to address some of the issues that women in the electorate have. So, you could see there's an opportunity missed there. We'll see what contribution the new candidate makes when he is probably going to be elected to the seat of Cook.
Martin, explain to our listeners why it is that Labor probably won't run a candidate in a by-election in Cook, and why perhaps you mightn't get a Teal running.
Yeah, good questions. In by-elections, political parties, the major political parties, only tend to run if they think they can win. The reason being that by-election campaigns, like main election campaigns, are very expensive. They often run into six figures. There's also the risk that you spend all this money, you run your candidate, they don't make any ground, or worse still, they lose ground, and you end up with egg on your face. So you spend all this money, you've not got much back for it. You did get 4%. If you get 4% of the vote, you get some public funding, but it's not going to cover the costs of running full campaign for the major parties. And I think all you do is open yourself up to self-examination and all the pundits saying that you're going backwards. On the other hand, minor parties see these things as opportunities. They get some public funding. Typically, they run much lower cost campaigns. For them, it's a little bit of a free kick. So, if Labor's not there, the Greens and Independents will have a go. A Teal style independent is probably going to be more effective in inner city electorates, where there's a lot of affluent people that are very socially conscious, socially aware, interested in environmental issues, etc. So, if you look across the actual demographic of the seats that the Teals won, there's a fairly common factor. They're usually highest socioeconomic status seats with high numbers of tertiary educated people. Strong emphasis on the environment, local community facilities, etc.
Martin, it's been observed that in the Dunkley by-election, the Pauline Hanson Party didn't run, and nor did the United Australia Party of Clive. And one suggestion is that their absence on the vote explains the small number of votes that the coalition picked up. Why wouldn't have One Nation and Clive Palmer's party run in that by-election? Is it a similar set of
The One Nation often run in these seats, but One Nation, the organisational strength of One Nation varies enormously. They're not the most consistent party in terms of organising themselves. They've gone through various splits at different stages, etc. There's still apparently a bit of infighting in the New South Wales branch of One Nation recently. I think organisational factors will probably explain the absence of One Nation. Clive Palmer's interest in politics sort of waxes and wanes. If he can grab an existing sitting senator, win them over to his party, campaign behind them, He likes to make a splash in general elections. There's obviously his commercial interests that he's very interested in protecting, etc. Is that really going to be at play in a by-election in suburban Victoria? So I think he picks and chooses which battles that he wants to actually contest.
I think he was also interested in sort of swelling his numbers to hopefully get someone into the Senate. And I guess you have people around the country to raise the profile of the party as well.
Yeah, you can't. The reason why you run lower house candidates during a general election is to boost your upper house vote. So people vote, have the option of voting for someone with the green ballot and someone with the white ballot. So it's extra profile raising. That doesn't apply in a by-election. So he would only run in a by-election, I think, if he thought there was something in it for him.
Martin, what's the latest polling showing for Mr. Albanese, and how does that fit with what happened in Dunkley?
The Coalition and Labor are level pegging. In fact, some of the polls are showing the Liberals now narrowly in front. So it's a fairly tight race at the moment. I would say you have to. The trend has been slightly towards Dutton since the outcome of the referendum, but that's actually been arrested somewhat since the tax cuts package that Labor has actually brought in. So. It's looking fairly tight ahead of the next election, I'd say. I'm not going to do too much crystal ball gazing for 22-25 just yet, but you look at the polling figures and they probably suggest a Labor minority government when it's all lined up. But yeah, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge.
Martin, are we expecting any more by-elections between now and the general election?
We actually had a Labor senator from Victoria pass away, which was very tragic. But she will be replaced through the party means, as it's done constitutionally. Apart from the Cook by-election, that's the only immediate one on the horizon.
Well, Martin, it looks like we can start to rest more easily in the period ahead. What do you think the biggest issues are going to be over the next 6 months coming out of Canberra?
Oh, I think there's still this focus on the cost of living. I think that's going to be the perennial burner in the next election. If you're looking for a juicy topic of discussion just over the next week or two, though, keep an eye on that debate over that former politician who was captured. That's the words of the ASIO boss. Was captured by a foreign power. I think a lot of former politicians are very anxious that the identity hasn't been revealed, worried about. Aspersions being casted on them. I'll get the pressure up perhaps to name that person. But there might be a couple of former federal politicians who are a bit nervous about their own connections during their time in politics as well.
Well, Martin, I think you're about to get a knock on the door from someone who says, I'm from the government and I want to find out how you know who this person is. We'd better let it go, Martin, before we get into any more trouble. Lovely.
By the way, I'm not saying I know. I'm not saying I know.
Oh, Martin, see you next week.
You next week, Michael.